I'm going to start in Genesis this morning, and this word has been cooking in my heart all week. Now, I did bring this scripture Wednesday night, okay? So I knew there was much, much more. And so ever since Tuesday, when the Lord gave me that brief word for Wednesday night and the scripture, it's just been on me all week long. So I want to share that with you today. I'm just going to call it salvation. And I want to say to Brother Chris that every one of those songs just went like this with the word I'm about to bring you. And Father, I pray this word is so intensely special that, Lord, you will let it sink down into your people's ears and into their heart, into the spirit of man. Father, the words that you have to say today to us, in Jesus' name, help my lips, Lord, to do as you would have me do today. Help me, Holy Spirit, to deliver this word with grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, every now and then, you'll hear people say, this Christian life is just too hard, Pastor. This Christian life is just too hard. I don't hear that too much in this house. But you'll hear it off and on when you're out and around Christians. And I told a young man the other day, and he just said, it's too hard. I don't think I can do it. And I said, let me say something, young man. The Bible does not, that's not what the Bible says. It did not say that the way of a Christian is hard. It says to us, and I think it's Proverbs 13:15, that the way of a transgressor is what? The way of a transgressor is hard. That is not an easy place to go. And a transgressor is one who violates, I looked it up, one who violates the law or violates commands. And when you do that, everything's upside down. It also goes on to say it means to go beyond a boundary. Boundaries that God has set, boundaries the Word has set, maybe even boundaries that you have set. It also means a transgressor is one who is unfaithful. Now you can be faithful to church and still be violating what God's commands are. So I just want to tell you, if you are coming to church or you're living as a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, but, and you know whether you are or not, I mean, you just know. But when you start breaking the commands and the laws of God, and you start stepping across the line into places that you know you shouldn't step, let me tell you something, it's going to mess with you. It's going to mess with you. And things are going to get confusing in your home, in your life, in your mind. So let me go on and tell you this. God always kept things simple. I mean, Jesus really did when he preached. And Jesus gave us the answer just in case we would get over here and get mixed up. Because he knew we would. So Jesus said, God said in Isaiah, he said, look, you could choose death or you could choose life. And what was God's answer? He gave us the answer. Choose. Yeah, you can either choose death or life. But I suggest, he didn't say I suggest. He said choose life. Okay, and then he goes on to say, you could choose cursing or blessing. What did he tell us to choose? Okay, so we've already got the answer to everything. Choose life, choose blessing. And so that way is much easier than living the life of a transgressor. That will mess with you. And if you come in and choose life and you choose blessing, you'll find things work out much better and much easier. Now, there was a time, go on over to Genesis. We'll start back there. I was going to start with my scripture from Wednesday night first, but I want to start here first. Just kind of line it up. Before the flood, I mean, everything was so wicked. It was so horrible. It was it was wicked, it was evil. You say, was it as bad as it is now? I would like to say worse, but there's more people on the earth now. So it was just a mess. In fact, God got so disturbed and he was so upset with man that he created. And he gave him all these wonderful things that they could have. Everything, life and blessing. And they had prophets that would speak the word. And they talked to God and they knew how. But it was a very wicked world. And finally God said, I repent that I made man. I wish I hadn't even made them. So he says, I'm going to destroy them all. And yet he found one man and his family. And you know who that man is? Noah. And the Bible tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Moses is really getting to be way old. All right, so let's look at Genesis chapter 7. And I'm going to show you the natural first, and then we'll understand the spiritual. If what I brought Wednesday night, we'll understand it a little better. I just hit on this a little bit on Wednesday night, but let's let it speak to us. And let's look at the parallels here. Okay, I know I told you chapter 7, Kathy, but let's start at Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, okay? We'll go to verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, you come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are what? Righteous. Before me in this generation. You say, well, you know, that just scratches us out. No, you'll see. No, he says, Noah, you're righteous. Go down to verse 7. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Let's read verse 4. I'm sorry, Kathy. Read verse 4. For after seven more days, God says, after seven more days, I will cause it to rain. I will cause it to rain on earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy this wicked generation. I will destroy them from the face of the earth. All living things that I've made, everything is on its way out. All the animals, all of man, except for Noah and his sons and his wives. He had three sons. He had three daughter-in-laws. He had his wife. And him, which made eight people. Verse 6. Noah was how old? How old? Unbelievable. He was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, his sons' wives, went to the ark. All right, let's go on down to verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, see, God has everything set. Though he doesn't live on time, there is a set time on this earth for his will to come to pass. So on that day, look at this, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, just exactly and precisely as God had said. So here's what happened. So the rain came out of the heavens, of course, wet rain. We're talking about just natural rain here, just like you and I will see this week and last week. Just natural rain came down. And then it says the fountains of the deep opened up. And when the earth opened up, the flood waters and spring waters came up out of the earth. Now they've got water coming from every direction, not only from the heavens, but it said there, the earth opened up, the fountains of that great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and here you go. So we know what happened. So Noah and his family get inside the ark waiting for the rain. Didn't rain for about 10 days after they were in there. After they were in there, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and the gushers came up out of the earth. then they were in it for about another year and a half before everything dried up so that they could go out and start multiplying again. So with that, we know that there was an ark of safety. And there was a few people, there was a remnant on earth, not very many, only eight of them, that got inside the ark. And what happened? It was total chaos out here. Total death. Total wickedness. It was wicked, but now they're all destroyed. Everything's gone. And yet the family of God's just floating around out here on the chaos. Just floating around on the water. Floating on the rain. Floating on the deep waters that came up from the earth. Just floating. Why? Because they were safe. And I think I'm going to call this message salvation, because it'll be all about that. So this ark then becomes the salvation of the people. You had the floods and you had the rain. And here were these sweet people right here, right in the middle, floating around, no harm done, and begin to set back down on the earth when the time was right and recreate again. Okay, so let's move on. I want you now to go to Isaiah 45. This is the scripture I brought you. Also put on Facebook. I want you to see Isaiah 45, verse 8. So you just saw the natural. You saw real rain. You saw the earth open up. You saw real water coming up out of the earth. And you saw a real ark with God's people right in between, totally saved because they were in the ark. All right, look what Isaiah the prophet says. Let me tell you again before we read. The earth was again a total wreck. It was a disaster. It was wicked. It was filthy. And the Bible says that men walked in the ways of their own eyes. However they wanted to walk in the 60s and 70s, the little catchphrase was, if it feels good, do it. There was no restrictions to the world. They're still not in the world. But so God sees all this, but he says he's not talking about destroying it all. But here's what he says now through the prophet. Read 45 and verse 8. The prophet begins to pray God's prayer, and yet it's as though God is speaking through him, and God is making a declaration right here. Verse 8. Rain down, you heavens from above. And let the skies pour down righteousness. And let the earth open up. And let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. The Lord created it. So here you go again. Same scenario. Except this is the spiritual of what we just read in the natural, okay? So this is not natural rain. The prophet says, oh, rain down, you heavens, from above. And let the skies pour down righteousness. Not a natural rain to kill them all, but he says, man, what we need on this filthy, wicked, good-for-nothing earth is righteousness. So, God, open up the heavens. Let the rain of righteousness come down from the heavens, from the sky. Let it come down. And then look what it said. Bring righteousness. And let the earth open up. That happened in Noah's day. Let the earth open up. Did it bring forth more water? No, this time. Let it bring forth salvation. Chris, every song you sung today walked right along this path, every single one. So now he says, let the sky pour down righteousness. And when the earth opens up, let it bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. Okay? Now he's saying, I want this righteousness to come down on my people. And this salvation to come up out of the earth. And I will bring it together. Here we go again, folks. Here we are right in the middle of the righteousness and the salvation. All hell is breaking loose out there. And what are you and I doing today? We're sitting here in the peace of God with millions around the globe who love Jesus. And we're just going along, walking on the chaotic messes. Does that mean just because Brother Art is here, he shouldn't have had a heart attack? Well, I wish he hadn't. But the bad thing is, he did. But he went through surgery before they even told his wife in his home. Went over to Cuya Delta yesterday, and the doctor came in and said, look, see if you can walk. Oh, I can walk. Well, when you walk, you can go home in a couple hours. Okay, the man of God, David, told me when I first heard, Shay called me about 5 o'clock the other morning. Thank you, Shay. And then David writes to Sarah and says, hey, I've been over there at Arts. And see, I said, well, how is Lynn doing? He said, oh, she had peace. She had peace. Okay, now they're in chaotic waters, just like all of us get in chaotic waters. But what are they doing? They're just floating along between righteousness and salvation. They got them both. They came together. So they're just like this. Some of you are looking at chaotic messes right now. Here you go. You're right where you want to be. I think it's let's see if we can find that Proverbs. Psalms 85 and 10. I want you to see this, and I'll tell you what one of my pastors used to say years ago when I was a girl. I love this. Psalms 85 and 10 says, mercy, I'm reading it, I think, from the Old King James. Mercy and truth are met together. So God's mercy and the truth of the word has met together. Now look what it says. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness that rained down from heaven on us, and peace that comes up from the earth. Righteousness and peace have done what? Kissed each other. Now, Brother Paul Welch used to say, righteousness and peace have kissed each other, and we are right in the middle of the smack. Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm just telling you what he said. But it's powerful. You say, well, then, how did the earth open up and bring that salvation? Well, I'm glad you asked. So we go and get into another place. But before we go there, let me say this. In verse 9 says, woe to him who strives with his maker. Don't be messing with God. If you want to mess around and play across the border over here, getting into a world of sin that they're all in, if you want to play out there, let me say to you, you would be better off to go get a bomb and play with it in your backyard with a ticker going or a timer going on it. Just be better off. He says, woe to that one that strives with his maker. So God poured down righteousness. And salvation came up out of the earth. All right, let me give you the good old words that we learned about salvation. The word of God, the Greek word for salvation. Oh, I remember getting that in me when I was about 18, and I was so happy about that Greek word. Salvation means deliverance, to be rescued. We sung about that again this morning. Deliverance, rescued, prosperity, preservation, safety, rescued out of destruction. That means welfare. Safe. You say, well, sometimes I don't know if I was kept safe. The Bible says we live by faith and we will die by faith. Whatever we're in, we are in faith. And don't forget, you're right here. Right in the middle of that smack of righteousness and peace that have kissed each other. Okay, so that's this now. What? Salvation. I'm talking about salvation. Deliverance. If you're saved today, the song said, when I got saved, then what do you have available to you? Deliverance, prosperity, preservation, safety, rescued out of darkness, and welfare. Welfare was a part of the English the Greek word translated into English was welfare. All right, let me look up the word welfare. It says welfare means a state of doing well, good fortune, well-being, health, happiness. But it also means an agency or a program through which aid is distributed. Can I tell you today that God is that agency? Not only does he have it, he is the agency. He distributes the things that we have need of. He gives us that aid. Now, if somebody told us today, if you go over to Save Mart this afternoon, they're going to be just giving out $1,000 bill to everybody that comes in, if there is such a thing. Well, you could go over here and partake of that and get one, or you can say, I don't believe it. And you didn't have time to go, so you missed it while everybody else got it. You know, so I'm just telling you, you don't want to miss what I'm giving you today. Now, if you have salvation, look at all this you have available to you. We cannot let one of these things pass us by, because the Bible also tells us this, that God has translated us out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. How many's been translated? How many were translated? Y'all better get in here with me this morning, or I'll just stay here till about 2. I'm not going to have any TV when I get home anyway, so. I'm just saying, we got to take advantage of what we have. Every single one of us. There is absolutely no cause for us to have to reach over the line like a poor little lost sheep trying to eat greener grass over here or get more water over here when you've got a shepherd over here that will take care of everything you have need of. See, we have an agency, and we have our own agent, and he takes care of it all, church. Yeah, you can choose life, or you can choose death. You can choose blessing, or you can choose curse. You can just have life however you want it, pretty miserable or pretty good. All right, so let's go over to Hosea. Let me look at Hosea. Hosea chapter 10. Verse 12 gives us a little homework right here. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, look, sow to yourself what? Righteousness. Reap in mercy. If you sow in righteousness, you reap mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Until he comes and does what? Reigns righteousness. I love it when the word came together. I just nearly jumped up. I cried my eyes out when I saw that. Coming together with everything else. Till he comes and reigns righteousness on you. So he says, now you just keep on planting. And you keep sowing for yourselves. For yourself. Not for your mama. Not for your wife. Not for your pastor. Not for your church. But you keep sowing to yourself righteousness, not wickedness, not all the mess of the world, but you just keep sowing to yourself so you can reap mercy. And then he says, break up your fallow ground. Break it up. I had to look up that word fallow. I was talking to Ryan, and Sheena is going to be kind enough to get this field done for us. And called Brother Roman. He says, well, one field out there, you plow up. Or disc. I think he said disc. The other one, you mow. So they're going to disc this land. And we do it every year. Thanks to Brother Roman and Cornerstone. This year, you're going to get the pleasure, Brother Ryan. But he says, now you break up that fallow ground. Fallow ground, listen to this. This is what fallow ground is. It's ground that has gone unplanted for a period of time. You haven't sowed any righteousness into that ground. You say, how do I get righteous? By accepting the word of God, by hearing what I'm giving you, by understanding that righteousness comes from heaven, peace on earth right here, and we're just right there. We're inside it. But if you don't know that, you're going to make yourself miserable. Amen? So you plow up that fallow ground with repentance, with reading your word, with prayer. If you've never read the Bible, well, start reading it through. Start. I mean, we're right in the beginning of the year. Start reading it through. Get it all in your heart, all of it. So don't let your ground go unplanted at all. We have to plant. We want to plant things in. If you don't plant, if a farmer does not plant seed, if he plants no corn, what's he going to get? Nada. If he plants no cotton, he gets no cotton. He plants nothing, behold, you get nothing. You don't give, you get nothing. And you do this, how do he say, look at this again, verse 12, sow your righteousness, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. He said he has righteousness just for you. He has rain just for you and your family, your situation. He's got it already. But meanwhile, you plant righteousness into yourself. You plant this word into yourself. You plant prayer into yourself. You plant being close to God and meeting with him and getting into his presence. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you this, church, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when the enemy comes in like this flood, God said, oh, don't be disturbed. I will raise up a standard against him. I will just raise up a standard out of this earth. By the way, do you know who the standard is? Or what the standard is? Yes, Jesus himself. Yeah. The earth was all wicked again, New Testament coming up. But between the Old and New Testament, there were 400 silent years. I mean, just dead. The Bible says there was not a word. There was nothing going on for that 400 years. And it got more wicked and more wicked until Jesus was born. And the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. They must have thought, wow, we have it made. Well, they get down here, the disciples running around with Jesus. Everything's well. And then they killed him. They destroyed him. They hung him on the cross. He bled out on that cross, if I can use that word. There was blood coming out of his head, out of his hands, his feet. And then they speared him at the side. So now, you've got such an evil, messy world that they would literally kill the most righteous man who ever lived. And they knew. They knew he was the most righteous man who ever lived. Yet they put him to death. He lay in a grave. They put him, wrap him up. Again, just like the swaddling clothes he came in with, he went out with swaddling clothes. They lay him in that cave, put the door over the cave or the stone over the cave, and he came out with an explosion of great and mighty resurrection power. And when he did that, can I close out this message by telling you that God rains righteousness upon us? And so how do we get that peace that came out of the earth? How do we get that salvation that came out of the earth? When Jesus was resurrected, I tell you, church, salvation came up out of the earth. Salvation came out, righteousness came down, and here you and I are again, right here. Right here, right here. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, here you are, right here. You know what? You're okay. You're okay. You've been rescued. God paid the ransom for you. He translated you out of darkness, brought you into light. He delivered you. You have prosperity. You have blessing. You have everything that you could ever have need of because salvation belongs to you and righteousness has been rained upon us. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? Glory to God. You know what we're going to do? I'm just going to give you a cup of the whole thing. And this little cup is all that. All of it. The righteousness that came down. The salvation that came up out of the earth. Remember, in Genesis it said the fountains of the deep opened up. The fountains of the deep opened up when Jesus went into that tomb. But when he came out, salvation, blessing, and righteousness. And we're going to drink of this cup right now. Father, we want to examine ourselves right now and receive you, Lord. Lord, for those who have known you for many years, those that just met you yesterday, you've made it all available to us. The righteousness of God. Lord, even when people say, I don't think I can do this. I don't have what it takes. No, we sure don't. We don't have it. Oh, without your reigning of righteousness, we would be nothing. We could not live holy. We could not live. You said, be ye holy as I am holy. Well, that wouldn't work if you weren't here with us. If you hadn't reigned righteousness on us, we couldn't do that. Without the salvation of the Lord Jesus, him taking care of our welfare, without him being our agent, we wouldn't have anything. So, Lord, I want us all to examine ourselves today. He said, take a look at yourself and sow into you. Look at yourself. In the book of Hebrews, he said, examine yourself to see if you're of the faith or not. Are you in the faith? Are you in the boat of safety? Are you in the ark? Are you in Jesus? Oh, God, we praise you. If you're not right now, you can come to him. You can sow into yourself right now righteousness by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you today and you say, Pastor, I'm not for sure if I know him or not. I'm just not quite sure. Lift your hand up and put it right down, right back down. I just don't know, Pastor. I don't know. Anyone? Hallelujah. Pray this prayer in your heart with me right now, dear Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me for the times that I have ignored your Holy Spirit and your promptings. And help me to serve you all of the days of my life. I receive that rain. Open up the heavens and let it rain on me. I receive your salvation this day. In Jesus' name, I receive you as Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you, visitors and everybody, please feel free to come and get your cup. There's a table there, one here and over there. Instead of serving you, I'm going to ask you to come to the table. Would you come, please, and just take your cup back to your chair. Hallelujah. Stand in attitude of worship. Stand in attitude of worship, please. Come on. Keep worshiping God. He's more important than anyone else. My God. We're getting ready to drink from this cup of salvation. Glory, glory. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. To our King. Hallelujah. Come on, take this bread. Jesus, this is you. You're our salvation. You're our salvation, Lord, and we partake of you. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for paying the ransom for our dirty souls. Thank you for translating us out of darkness and into your kingdom. Thank you for being our agent, the distributor of our welfare, our health, our wealth, our blessing. Lord, we're going to put you within us today. You're already here. But Lord, it is though we are standing right there at your table today. You said, remember that? Yes, Lord. We remember your death until you come. And remember, we remember with that death came salvation for us. So we partake of our fullness of salvation through your body. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Would you partake of his body? That was the salvation that came up out of the earth. He was a man. He died on earth. He lived on earth. He died on earth. He was resurrected from the earth and he became salvation. He became our righteousness. And when he went back to heaven, he said, Father, don't let them remain orphans. Send them the Holy Spirit to help them. Let him live within them. I will live in them through him. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your righteousness. He helps us every day. You rain down righteousness upon us by your blood, by the blood you shed, the blood that came down from heaven. It came down from that cross. It came to set us free. We repent and receive everything that you gave us, Jesus. We'll never forget what you did. May righteousness and salvation meet together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink together. Our Lord and our God, how we love you, Jesus. Woo, Lord, you've been good. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he turn his beautiful face towards you, be gracious to you, turn his countenance towards you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings upon you as you go your way. Hallelujah.